couple of seconds, we're going to talk to Ryan Leaf, the former NFL quarterback, who famously melted down while yelling at a reporter. I don't know, that's a tough situation to be in when you're in jail. I mean, when you're in the locker room and you had a bad game and everybody's in there just trying to poke you and prod you, trying to get you to say things, which basically was my job for a couple of years, to be that guy to go in the locker room. And, you know, not only is that somebody's job, but that's their life, you know, and they got to take that stuff home with them. And it's the pressure must be miserable. This next gentleman went through that. This is Ryan Leaf. Ryan, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Great. Good to have you back here in Tampa. It was a quick little stint here, huh?
Yeah, it was. Well, it was one of the best. Even if it was a stint, one of the best times in my football career because of, you know, who I was surrounded with. Tony Dungy was, of course, my head coach, and then the players that were around me. It was the first time I actually really felt like I was back in a locker room like I was in college when I was with the Tampa Bay Bucks.
That's what I was going to ask you. For a guy who had problems, Tony Dungy's been known to be a great guy to work with, players and development, develop guys who have the talent but maybe struggling in other areas. And I wasn't sure if you were going to say whether or not you had a good relationship, because I don't you know, recall you being here long enough for him to really do anything like that.
No, it was very impactful. He could make a impact in the moment, and surely that. My grandfather passed away during training camp that year, and Coach Dungy was the one who came and told me and comforted me, and even though I was fighting for a job on the team, he sent me away to the funeral and stuff. So, I mean, those are what now I know what's important in life, and those are the kind of actions that speak so much louder than anything else.
Sure, and so many of those players say that Dungy brings that to their life and is able to point those sort of things out for them. What do you think you obviously you're a great college player, had big hopes for you in the NFL. When did things start going wrong for you? You always had the talent. Had to be other things that slowed you down.
Yeah, I mean, it was the way I knew how to live life. You know, I was a very, it's part of the reason I got to where I got, but at that level, you just can't be that defensive. Every guy's talented who gets to that point. You know, everybody's talented who gets to the league. It's what you do from Sunday to Sunday. And I simply couldn't deal with failure and criticism. I didn't have the ability to do it. And I'm ashamed to say that it took so long. But, you know, it was football. And I just compounded that after my career was over because I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know how to ask for help. I didn't know how to transition from something where I felt I'd never do anything as important again in my life.
I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that it goes the same for any musician, any actor. You're on a hit show for a little while and then you don't have that show anymore. The transition back into regular person is devastating.
Well, you just don't know how to do it, and there wasn't any guidance at the time. Now, of course, the NFL has done a tremendous job of trying to improve that, and there are foundations and things that of that nature that are out there now. Ones I work with in particular to help guys, not only athletes but combat veterans, people who who have dealt with addiction and things like that. So it's important to understand that everybody's transitioning and everybody has a life. Mine was just a very public one and a very public, I guess, failure at the time.
Yeah.
And to find perspective, sometimes it takes a humbling that most people think would devastate somebody else, and it was one that it was just needed for me.
It's great to hear you speaking like this, because you can tell you're at peace with yourself. When did you start? Because Ryan ended up serving time in jail, and he had a drug addiction. When did you start with the drugs? Is that something that started as painkillers and stuff from football, or is that something you turned to afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, that's how I was introduced to it. Right, I had about 15 orthopedic surgeries over my many years of playing football. So I was always introduced to it. I didn't start abusing it until after I had retired. And I usually, when I travel the country and I speak, I talk to people about how I was a drug addict long before I ever took a drug.
Yeah.
And they they don't quite understand that. It's behavior, right? So the drug was always just a medicating factor, right? It was a byproduct of the actual problem. I was a narcissist. I was angry. I was judgmental. I was depressed, and I didn't want to feel that way. I felt when I walked into rooms where there were Super Bowl champions and Hall of Famers, I would just, you know, I would immediately feel less than. Mm. And the understanding that we're just all flawed human beings trying to be better every day was what it should really be about. The fact of that you were a great football player doesn't necessarily mean anything. It's because it's a very fleeting thing, but we tie so much identity up in that. And I was, for sure.
Yeah.
So it's important to, and it's a shame that, like I said, it took so long for me to figure that out, but I did, and I have a lot of life left. And with that life, I want to be of service. So people that are going through similar things that I did, you know, don't have to.
So what's the number one thing you say? You got a guy who is in a similar situation with you. Maybe not, certainly doesn't have to involve football, but somebody who's have a hard time adjusting, definitely could be teetering, if not fully on a painkiller addiction. A lot of these people don't know where to go and where to turn to. What is your number one suggestion for the person out there listening today that's relating to you as far as needing help and where to get help?
Well, the first thing is just to understand that asking for help is the strongest thing you'll ever do. It's not a sign of weakness that you haven't been able to deal with this on your own. We're all the same.
Yeah.
And my story is very public, and it doesn't mean it's more important or less important than what any other individual is going through. You know, life is life, and it's not fair. It's really how you deal with it that matters, and it's important that they just simply are able to reach out and say, I have a problem. I can't tell you how many individuals, because of my public stance on all this, have reached out through social media to say they're struggling with something. They're taking part. They're doing that. And once you take that first step, you realize that there's this amazing life out there in recovery or just being a better person. And that's the first step, is asking for help.
And you have to realize how brave you are for doing this and being a part of. Ryan's a program ambassador for Transcend Recovery Community. So it's a sober living environment where they got homes in L.A., New York, Houston. People, you are not only a public figure, you say a failure, and maybe a failure at football, but in life, you definitely brought it back around. I mean, you're a guy who really, when you look at Johnny Manziel right now, and you got to think he's got to be going through something similar to what you went through, and is probably wishing that somebody that he could relate to can give him some help. Have you talked to him at all?
We've tried, you know, this is a great story. We've tried for about 2 years, and sure enough, just, you know, no response. And this is the way the world works. My fiance was grocery shopping a couple Sundays ago at Ralph's and ran into him and his fiance, and she texted me, and I said, well, go tell him.
Yeah.
Who you are. And so she confronted him and said, I'm Ryan Lee's fiance, and he was quite surprised, and I was able to talk to him for the first time recently, and I think things are moving in the right direction. But you know, you can't want something for somebody else, right?
Yeah.
They have to want it, and then they have to proceed and do it. I could want this for everybody in the world who's dealing with an opiate addiction or dealing with depression or a mental health disorder. But unless you reach out and then do the work yourself, nothing's going to change. And I had to figure that out, too. You know, I blamed a lot of people. I took no accountability is what it was. I had zero accountability for the things that I did and what I needed to fix. And luckily, I surrounded myself with people in my life that hold me accountable. And when I mess up, because I still mess up, just because I have this new peaceful life doesn't mean I'm still not a human being and I don't mess up on a daily basis. I'm just more self-aware about it, and I know how to correct it. And move forward.
It's incredibly brave, because no better way for somebody who is suffering than to relate to somebody who's been through it and has come out clean on the other side. So kudos to you for doing that. This is Ryan Lee for joining us. Hey, when you go to jail, do people like you, or are they busting your balls because you're famous?
No, I mean, it was Montana where I'm from. And so, you know, I'm the only first-round draft pick from the state of Montana ever.
So you're very popular in jail.
There's more first-round draft picks in the Manning family than the whole state of Montana ever. So, you know, they looked up to me. I still couldn't see it, right?
Yeah.
I was still like, you know, know, just so self-loathing and angry and depressed that I didn't see it. But I most of the time I just sat on my butt and watched TV and got fat. I mean, that's, it's, and you know what the scary part about going to jail was? It wasn't jail. It was
black guys
designed with the fact that this is my life, you know?
Yeah. That's
this
it.
Is my life.
And having to stare at it every day. By the way, you're the second.
Well, just be like, just be like, this is okay. This is my life now. I'm okay with that. That's the scariest part of it.
Oh, being comfortable with the fact that you're in jail, and that's the way it goes. Ryan Leaf is joining us, the second most popular person from Montana to join us on the show today. We talked to Rob O'Neill, the guy who shot Bin Laden earlier. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's up in the water over there. You, Rob, Evel Knievel, there's some tough guys coming out of Montana. I just want you to know, Ryan Leaf, that I am in possession of and have had for several years one of the very few authentic NFL Buccaneer helmets signed by Ryan Leaf.
Oh, really?
I absolutely have it. Yes, yes. Still have it on the shelf.
That's very flattering.
Yeah, because it was a quick time that you were here, and I had a real helmet, and you signed it, and I still have it. And I'm like, listen, I'm very happy for you. As a radio guy and as a former sports radio guy, we love blow-ups in the locker room. We love to see people crash, but everybody loves to see you come back clean on the other side and now dedicate your life to helping out other people. It's a pleasure to talk to you today, and keep up the good work, my man.
You bet, guys. Thanks, Tampa.
Yeah, see you soon. There you go, Ryan Leaf.